The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
With me on the line now is the CEO of the City of Greater Geelong, Martin Carter. Good morning.
Hello, Mitchell. How are you?
Nice good, to be thank back you. Here. Yeah, good to have you back on the program. And normally we would be speaking to the mayor at this time, but again, because the council is in caretaker mode due to the elections, we're speaking to you. And I believe the voting closes this week. People have got to get their ballots back by Friday.
That is correct. The election date is the 24th, so I think they're supposed to put in. And I think I did mine this morning, actually. Complete this by 6 o'clock on Friday night.
And hopefully people do that. And I think probably earlier is better, just with the way the postal system is at the moment. You wouldn't want to be leaving it to chance, I wouldn't think.
No, absolutely. I spoke to the Victorian Electoral Commission the other day, and they're going to be challenged by the postal system in this environment. So they want people to vote early and get that done and dusted before this Saturday.
And I think you said last time that we can expect a result around mid-November. Is that still on track?
Yeah, we're looking for the 13th of November. Again, that's talking to the VSC, it's a postal contingent, but they are expecting to get through all those by the 13th of November.
Now, I believe there's a council meeting being held tonight, so the councillors will be back.
They are. This will be their final council meeting. It is solely to note the annual report for the year, so it's their last chance to get together virtually, of course, because we're not doing that in person at the moment. So it'll be great to celebrate their term. They've done a fantastic job over the 3 years, and I know they're all looking forward to Saturday, I'll be very keenly to hear the result.
So in terms of the meeting tonight, is it just one motion to ratify the annual report, or is there any other fanfare or any other information or a presentation around that?
No, look, it is just to note the annual report, which has already gone to the minister, which is what we're required to do. I have no doubt the councillors will make some personal comments or comments about the term, which is their right to do that. As I said, it's been a very productive 3 years, and I know they're looking forward to the election process as well. As all those candidates who are out there are also very keen to be involved.
Are there any highlights in the annual report or anything that would jump out at people if they were to read it?
Oh, look, I think the support, the COVID support packages are clearly outlined in the report. I think in the financial year we put forward a $10.8 million COVID support package, which I think has been well received by the community. And subsequent to the end of the year, we've provided further support of around about $7 million. There's been a big sustainability focus in the report. We've endorsed the new 10-year waste and resource recovery strategy, which will result in some good outcomes in the years to come. And also there's also a new partnership with Barlam Water and other G21 councils to investigate how we can recycle organic food waste locally, which is also exciting. We've also developed a new social housing plan for 2020 through to 2041, which aims to increase the supply of social housing in our region by an estimated 12,000 dwellings over that period, which is a very exciting exciting initiative.
Now, in terms of the COVID changes announced by the Premier on the weekend, I believe you said libraries can reopen with up to 20 people. Is that right?
That is correct. And that is something that people have been crying out for, and that will be really well received as one of the changes that have come through. The other one, I think, is will also be incredibly well received is the increase in numbers for the hospitality businesses. They can now host up to 40 people indoors if they've got that room, which is up from 20. And they're now able to also host 70 people outdoors, which is up from 50.
I think some people are saying just in time for the grand final.
I think that's right. It's a very exciting time in Geelong, especially when the Cats are involved, of course. And those increase in the hospitality numbers are something I think that certainly the industry will appreciate, and people out there wanting to get and do something associated with the grand final, it'll make a big difference. I would encourage everybody out there who is looking to do something at a local pub or local restaurant to get in early and book. You'll find that it'll be very, very popular.
In terms of the libraries, when do they actually reopen, or have they already reopened, or is there still processes to go through to make sure they're COVID safe?
Well, they all have to COVID safe plans, and on the assumption they do, I think they can open straight away. That's my understanding. So I assume the all those libraries will be working very hard to make sure they have the COVID safe plans. I'm not specifically aware of individual libraries that have made the decision to open, but I'm certain they'll be working really hard to do it as quickly as possible.
Now, alfresco dining, there's been a lot of talk about embracing that and trying to move as much hospitality outdoors as possible. And hopefully the weather holds up, because I was watching a video on the weekend of people trying to do alfresco dining out in the middle of a thunderstorm. I think it's a bit of a joke. But in terms of in Geelong, has there been an increase in requests for permits? And also, is it easy for hospitality businesses to sort of take their business outside, or is it quite a process to go through to get all the checks and balances complete with the council?
Look, it's a really good question. It is a challenge because it's always got some complexities attached to it. But what we've introduced is a very, a good initiative of using a business concierge service where people, businesses who are keen to do some alfresco dining will come through the concierge service and be handled personally to ensure that they can actually move forward in regards to achieving a permit. Look, so far we've had, I think, 66 new applications for outdoor dining. 25 of those have already been approved. Another 10 were referred to the Licensing Commission. They actually didn't in the end need a permit. And we've got another 14 that are currently being assessed. I think so all up we're really moving as fast as we can through that process. There's only been two that haven't got through the system in the end due to safety concerns. But the rest of them are all being assessed and all being processed appropriately.
Now, there was an article in the paper on Friday about planning application responses, and it featured the former CEO of the Committee for Geelong, Rebecca Casson, who's now the CEO of Master Builders Victoria, suggesting that the planning applications weren't coming back quickly enough or within the required time frame. First of all, what is the required time frame, and are we living up to that?
Yeah, the required time frame is 60 days for a standard application and 10 days for what they term a Vic Smart permit. So we managed to achieve, I think, close to 70% of planning applications were decided within that required time frame. That is marginally down from 2017, I think it was, or 2018. We obviously want to continue to improve. I can assure you that we've had quite a significant increase in demand for planning applications over the last 12 months. So that's obviously puts additional strain on the council to achieve those targets. We certainly understand the need to have efficient planning processes and approval processes. Recently, the council did approve close to $900,000 worth of additional funding for increased staff resources in that area and a new pre-application review process and expansion of our digital services and streamlining of our decision-making processes, which should see us rectify that and actually achieve a higher percentage for the required timeframes.
And just last of all, serrated tussock, how big of a problem is it, and what are we doing to try and control it?
Yeah, look, it's a really invasive weed, and it does cause illness and death in livestock such as sheep, cows, and horses. So it's an important topic that we look at. It is regarded as one of Australia's worst weeds, and because it's got potential for rapid spread, and it does have economic and environmental impacts as a result of that spread. It is found across Greater Geelong, particularly in sort of farmland, Anarchy, Lara, and Little River. I've certainly seen it down Surf Coast Way as well. So it does begin to flower from October, and it does spread very quickly with its seeds through November. So it's a really crucial time to control it and be controlled with a certain type of herbicide spray. So we have contractors out there doing the spraying on rural roadsides and city managed land across the region. We're working with the Victorian Serrated Tussock Working Party in Agriculture Victoria to spread the word to landowners about the need to control this very invasive weed.
Well, Martin, thanks for being on the program, and we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks' time.
Thanks, Mitchell. Appreciate you letting me come on.
Good on you. Thank you very much. The CEO of the City of Greater Geelong, Martin Cutter, who is taking the place of the mayor while the council remains in caretaker mode.
The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.